certainly we give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this morning, and certainly in to our pastor in his absence, to this choir, and to all of you, my father's children. Amen. I tell young boys, if you will, I say, if you want to grow into a man, the very first thing you have to do, and I really believe this, the very first thing you have to do is to own your own dirt. Don't try to blame somebody else, and all my haters coming out, and truth of the matter is, ain't nobody thinking about you. You got to own your own dirt. And I believe I'm right about it, because if you think about it, if you're going to grow up as a Christian, the very first thing you've got to do is to confess. Is that not right? In other words, you can never become who you're supposed to be until you stop pretending what you're not supposed to be. So you have to own your own stuff. And I say that because as I preach, I'm really not picking at people so much as I'm talking about my own self. You see, I have a saying, I'll raise my hand so you don't have to, because it's me. I try not to be, some of these preachers talking about they got a word for you that's going to transform your life and all of that. And they live in foul. But I know it starts with me. If I got you, believe I got me first. And so I say that because we have to recognize sometimes, or at least I believe I recognize where I'm weak at. And even when I read the writings of Paul, all throughout those letters, I always got the sense that Paul never got over the fact that God called him from where he was. That here I was, a Christian killer, and God picked me out to share the gospel. And Paul would, from time to time, remind people, that's where I come from. That's who I was. That's what I did. And so when we begin to own our own stuff, it's then that we give God something to work with. Amen? That was for free. It was on my mind when I got up. But going forward, I started something this morning, and I kind of want to continue along that same line, and that is this. This week, I told us at 8 o'clock, I said, this week, two things are happening. First, there's Thanksgiving, and we all going to get up on Thursday and watch the parade and eat and get done eating so we can watch the Cowboys. Amen. Anybody else play? And then, I said, after that is the official start of the Christmas season. Amen. I drove down, we live out in Converse, and I drove down Pat Booker yesterday, and they already got season's greetings all over the place. But the official start takes place this week. So we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and the Christmas season a little bit today. Because I've always believed that if you wait till late in December to talk about Christmas, by then folks have already messed it up. So it would help us to maybe try to get our minds right now going into Thanksgiving and then going into the Christmas season, so we'll be prepared. Because I just believe if you're going to celebrate somebody's birthday, you know what I'm saying? Don't throw me a party and I can't come. If we're going to celebrate somebody's birthday, he ought to be part of the celebration. Does that make sense? So if you would, let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. Reverend Johnson said something in his prayer over the offering, and it just made me smile. Acts chapter 20, we're just going to notice one verse, verse number 35. And Paul is talking, and he says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Amen. Amen. And if we're going to pick a subject this morning, it's going to be the best part about you. Amen. And I said we started something this morning, and I just kind of want to continue on. And it starts with that word that we saw there in our verse, remember. This morning we recalled the words of a song, and I said it's a song we used to sing in church. We don't sing it too much no more. But it says, remember, only what you do for Christ will last. And then we talked about remembering what God has done for us, his great works and his miracles, his judgments. And so the prayer is that by remembering, by bringing back to mind, that we will allow Christ to truly be at the forefront of our thoughts and endeavors. There's a day this week on Friday, and they've come to call that this Friday. Yeah, thank you, Black Friday. And it's easy to see why. Because it won't be long before we'll start seeing stories on the news about police having to tase people who fighting at Walmart, or people pepper spraying each other to make sure they get what they were after. And it all speaks to the mindset, the attitude of the culture. And you know, people don't really know what they're talking about, because I saw one time when they asked some supposed to be psychologist to explain this type of behavior. And he started with, well, it's the economic situation combined with competitive shopping. And I said, competitive shopping? What is that? No, I think what we really see is just plain meanness. What we really see is just evil at work. Because what's going on with these people has nothing to do with giving. What's going on with these folk who behave this way is that they are trying to prove something to themselves about themselves. It's really not about the one they're supposed to be buying these items for. It's about how they see themselves. Hey, now y'all stick with me, and I'm about to try to help us all. Because, you know, you might not be in Target trading licks. But this is getting to an attitude, a way of thinking, a way of seeing ourselves. Don't ever seek to assess your status as a parent, or as a friend, or as a family member, by what kind of gift you can come up with. When you try to prove, and truthfully try to prove to yourself how good a mommy or daddy you are, by your ability to come up with the latest toys and electronics, that's not really giving. Because the basis is about me. Paul would write, whatever you do, do unto the glory of God. And yeah, that means Black Friday. That means you're shopping. Do it to the glory of God. Now, I know for a lot of folk, this sounds strange and it doesn't fit with how they think, but this is getting to the mindset of the culture. You know why you won't catch me fighting over stuff at Walmart? Besides the fact that a PlayStation not worth going to jail over. And you see, people don't even use good sense. It's me first. That's the darkness that descends upon this season. But besides the fact I don't want to go to jail over toys, I'm not going to fight about it because I respect my God too much and I respect myself too much because I see myself as an ambassador, as a child, as a servant of God. And if I have to harm or injure or cheat or take advantage of somebody to secure some material thing for somebody else, that doesn't qualify as giving. Because first and foremost, giving starts with loving. I know I'm right about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved, so he gave. That points out a problem in our culture, even those in the church. We give to impress. We give to make up for something. We give out of guilt. We give to show up somebody. We give to get something. But in order for it to be something that glorifies God, we must first give out of love. God gave because God loved. Now somebody says, well, I give to my kids because I love my kids. But notice the model before us. Certainly God loves Jesus, but he did not give to his only son. Instead, he gave his only son to us. I remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, if you only love people who love you, that don't prove anything. Wicked folks can do that. What can I do to demonstrate not only the love I have for my family, but what can I do to demonstrate God's love for other people? If we believe that everything we do, including our Christmas shopping, including our giving, if we believe that everything we do ought to give glory to God, what can I do to demonstrate his love for other people? Well, for some help, let's look at what God did. God gave us his best. As I said, the reason I think we ought to talk about Christmas before we get into Christmas is because the Christmases that were the most discouraging to me were the ones where I allowed the worst in me to come out. Those years where I got so frustrated because I didn't have enough money to get the kids everything they wanted, and I was glad when it was all over, but I was mad because I felt like I missed the whole thing. Or other years where maybe I checked off the last thing on the list, but now I got to spend the next 6 months push the car note back to next month. Then the month after that, pay the phone bill that was now a month behind. Then skip the credit card, which meant I got to lie to the person on the phone. Maybe I'm the only one. And through it all, I thought, you know what? Christmas wasn't worth all this. Or there were years where Diana and I fought the whole time. Wasn't no joy to the world going on. Wasn't no joy to the world going on in that house. And so I remember one year we had to make a pact. No fighting in December. Yeah, if If one makes the other one mad, you just got to hold it until January. And I know, I remember we would say, you know, you wait till January. But the point is, what was under the tree now seems so minor. Here I am carrying the name Christian, yet at Christmas, I gave my worst. So that not only did I feel so rotten about it, but what did it do for the cause of Christ? See, I don't know about you, but I want to give my best. And the best part about me is Jesus. And that's what I come to tell somebody today. What you need to understand, not only for this season, but in all the days to come, the best part about you is Jesus. Amen. Not your visa, not your pocketbook, not your quest to meet every item on the Christmas list or to present every person you know with something in a pretty wrap box. All of that has to first start with a loving, followed by giving your best. And the best part about you is Jesus. That's what the songwriter said. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. We said this morning, we were talking about how you can make this season mean something. How you can do something this year that will have an impact 1,000 years from now. And so we said this year, if you want to do something that's going to last, show compassion to somebody you wouldn't ordinarily associate with. We said, if you want to do something that's going to last 1,000 years, forgive somebody. And I qualified that, not that somebody that borrowed $5 from you and ain't paid you back. The one that I put it this way, the one that you've already made up your mind, I wouldn't spit on them if they were on fire. That's the one. Forgive them. And what I say to you this morning then is, give your best to somebody. Share the Jesus that is in you. It's easy to get caught up in the shopping rush of the season, which can then easily lead us into a place of complaint and disgruntlement and frustration and disappointment, which in turn becomes quarreling and strife and conflict. Somebody, let the best in you come out this year. Let the Jesus in you come out this year. Amen. Amen. Now, with those thoughts in our minds, we're ready to take a look at this text. This 20th chapter of Acts opens with Paul and his traveling companion and writer of this book, Luke, leaving Ephesus and setting sail for Macedonia. It is Paul's third and final missionary journey. And during these 2 or 3 years, he would write 1st and 2nd Corinthians, as well as his great letter to the Romans. After preaching throughout Macedonia, he arrives in Greece, stays there for 3 months. And he was about to set sail across the Mediterranean to Syria when he learned of a plot by the Jews to kill him while he was on board that ship. So he decided instead to get on another boat, go back through Macedonia by way of the Aegean Sea. And eventually he reaches Miletus, just south of Ephesus. And Miletus is where we find him today in our text. From Miletus, he calls for the elders at the church of Ephesus to come meet him. And when they arrive, he begins to talk with them. And he reminds them how he stayed with them even under the threats of the Jews. He reminds them that he always preached to them about the things they needed to hear, repentance and faith. Then he tells them that he is headed to Jerusalem and that he knows that when he leaves them, they will never see one another again. He encourages them to watch over the flock. Be aware of enemies in the church. So we then arrive at verse 35, and Paul says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must support the weak." Now, support is an interesting choice of words, but perhaps your translation reads, "help the weak." But the word in the Greek is the opposite of a word that means to seize from or to take from. Paul says, "I did what I did. The way I went about my business, I worked hard like this. In everything I did, I showed you that we, the church, cannot exploit the weak. We cannot take advantage of the weak." I said earlier, you might not be fighting with folks in the mall, but it's more about your attitude, your mindset. Only the strong survive. That's the law of the culture, and it's become the thinking of the Christian. But only the strong survives implies that the strong live at the expense of the weak. Think about the way of the world. You ever seen a standoff between two people over a parking space? Both refusing to back down. Because it's the strong that survive in this world. Or standoffs in the checkout line. I got here first. And that same mindset comes to church. Whenever there's a question or a decision to be made or a disagreement, there's a showdown. It's the mindset that believes only the strong survive. And as a result, we are raising a generation that would rather fight than forgive. Conquer rather than show compassion. Show off rather than show Christ. Move others to the back so they can be in front. Raise hell rather than respect. When the very opportunity is presented to let the best in us come out, instead, because we are aligned with the culture, the worst in us comes out. See, I really like that song, y'all have heard it, that says, "He saw the best in me." When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. But the other side to that is that a lot of times the reason people see the worst is because that's all that comes out. At some point in this Christian journey, this world, this culture is supposed to see the best in me. I remember what Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." Paul is saying to these church folk and to all of us, when you saw me working hard like I did, it was not so that I would elevate myself at the expense of the weak. You do know some of these folk with this so-called outreach missionary effort are really exploiting the weak to elevate themselves. Y'all remember what happened there at Penn State University a few years ago where the coach got caught messing around with little boys? But that's not an isolated occurrence. But if you follow the story, many of the children who were victimized were inner city kids who came to a football camp. There are people getting rich off showing us pictures of poor children in other countries. The exploitation of the weak happens all the time, and it's church folk who behind it. Paul says we're not supposed to live at the expense of the weak. But we work like we do to support the weak. We don't take from the weak, but we partake with the weak. What does that mean? It means when I deal with you, even in giving something to you, I'm not doing it to show how superior I am to you. I'm not doing it with an ulterior motive to elevate myself. I'm not doing it to prove something to myself. I'm doing it because I understand that you matter just like I matter. And if you want to do something this Christmas that will impact eternity, treat people, not just your family, not just your friends, not just your church friends, but all people, like you understand that in the sight of God, they are worth his own son dying for. And in that, we are starting to let the best in us come out. As this 20th chapter of Acts comes to a close, and Paul is preparing to depart, his final message to them was this. He said, remember what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what we've been doing is trying to get an understanding of what it means to give right with the right attitude and the right heart. So let's think about what we've said. We said giving starts with loving. So that says to us that there is an element to giving that is unconditional. What actions did you have to take? Or what kind of person did you have to be before God gave his son? Well, we all know it didn't matter, because his giving wasn't based on what you did or what you are. So if I'm going to give right, I don't give based on what you've done for me or what I think you're going to do for me. This one is free to the single ladies. You better beware a dude who's trying to buy you groceries and he just met you. Oh, he's so generous. You got that wrong. Because in his mind, that's a down payment. Amen. I'll let you figure out what return on his investment he's expecting. If I give right, I do it without condition. If you thought folks at work were going to be nicer to you because you bought everybody a stocking, first of all, you've been living on the wrong planet. And second of all, it's not their problem. You're the one with the issue because you gave for the wrong reason anyway. But if I give you a coat, it's not because I expect you to start coming to church. It's not even because I expect you to suddenly see the light and change your ways. It's simply because you matter to God, so you matter to me. So giving starts with loving. And then in giving, I'm giving my best. And this is so important because too many of us in the church are content with doing the minimum, giving the least. See, the law of the culture says get the most you can while sacrificing the least you got. Get the maximum while giving the minimum. You know, 50 years ago, they would have coat drives. And what that was about was school-aged children would pledge and then give money, and they were expected to give more than a nickel. And then all the money raised would go to purchasing new coats for poor children. Today's coat drives, and I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Today's coat drives consist of people cleaning out their closets and finding coats that are either too old or too junked up so that I don't want to wear it myself, but I'll give it to somebody else. Who would think of buying a new coat for someone they don't know when an old coat they don't want will do just as well? Well, I don't have money to buy a new coat for somebody else. Well, maybe we are where we are as church folk. Maybe we're not blessed, and it can be traced directly back to how we give. Because God gave his only son. And you know what? If he had given anything, even the slightest bit less, we'd all be in hell. See, now I understand what Paul is saying. Now I understand the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Because when we give and give right, it is at that very moment that we most resemble God. When I give and give right, it's at that very moment that the world can look at me and see Jesus. When I give and give right, it is at that very moment that the best part about me comes out. And I think there's a witness in here that'll understand and agree. When Jesus shows up, lives change. When Jesus shows up, futures change. When Jesus shows up, purpose is revealed. And I know I'm right about it because he showed up in my life. And when he showed up in my life, my story changed. I was a sinner on my way to hell. I was lost and could not be found. I was blind and could not see. Somebody once said, when I was unfit and misfit and counterfeit. But I'm so glad that God so loved the world. And that includes me. He gave his very best, Jesus Christ. And he came born of a virgin, lived without sin, died as the perfect sacrifice for us all. His blood washed away my sin. His blood cleansed me before God. His blood made me whole again. He died for you and me. But early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave. And he's alive right now. He's living inside of me. What I do for him. What I give for him. How I live for him. And when I die, I'll die for him. Because Jesus is the best gift I ever received. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Jesus is the best part about me. And when the best part about me comes out, everything changes. So I close with this. If you want everything to change, if you want to see God bless your life and bless your home and bless your family, amen, stop sending these charlatans your money. If you want to do something that's going to last forever, right now, let the best part about you come out. Because I'm a witness, when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Amen, amen, and amen. Our officers are coming. Let us all stand as the choir sings a song of invitation. Let the best part about you come out today. Somebody, perhaps a long time ago, you gave your hand to Jesus. But maybe here over the last weeks, months, and years, Jesus hadn't come out. That's the invitation for you today. Get out the way and let Jesus come out. My invitation to somebody else, let Jesus come in. Trust in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The doors of the church.